Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Former Congressman Matt Gaetz could face challenges as the Senate confirmation to be President-elect's Attorney General. GOP Senator Joni Ernst among lawmakers questioning Gaetz resigning just as an ethics committee investigating sexual misconduct involving Gaetz was set to release its findings.
Well, we'll talk about it for certain. I know he's going to have an uphill battle.
ABC News has learned the woman questioned by the House Ethics Committee told them Gaetz had sex with her when she was 17 years old when he was a congressman. In a statement to ABC News, Gaetz says in part these allegations are invented and would constitute false testimony to Congress. The Trump transition team also formally announcing President-elect Trump has chosen Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services as his pick. Mortgage rates have dipped for the first time in 6 weeks. The average rate for a 30-year home loan now 6.78%, down slightly from 6.79% last week. This is ABC.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin healthcare organizations say they're seeing an increase in the amount of unpaid medical care for the first time since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the Wisconsin Hospital Association's annual report, the amount of uncompensated care has jumped by 6% in the last year to a total of over $1.3 billion. The increase in unpaid care comes from an increase in the number of patients who are unable to pay for the care they've received and an increase in charity care, which hospitals can write off through taxes. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced $1 million in available grant funding to train and recruit more teachers. In a press release on Wednesday, Governor Evers announced the grants would cover 2 years of program costs for nonprofits to recruit, train, and license teachers under Department of Public Instruction guidelines. The grant program is meant to help address a shortage of teachers across the state as public school districts struggle with funding issues. Applications for the funding must be submitted by December 16th. Wisconsin State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley visited Superior on Thursday to highlight a new grant program for ensuring clean water in schools. The grant program would be created under Dr. Underley's budget request and would provide funding for schools to upgrade their fountains to keep lead and other contaminants out of the water. The grant program would have $2.5 million to distribute if the budget request is approved. Dr. Underley has proposed massive investments in public education as districts resort to operational referendums. The city of Duluth is looking for a new city administrator as current administrator David Montgomery prepares to retire again. Montgomery has served in the position on an interim basis during Mayor Roger Reinhart's tenure. He had previously served in the position for 9 years under former mayors Don Ness and Emily Larson. City officials say the search for a new long-term city administrator will begin at the start of the new year. In a statement, Mayor Reinhart also thanked Montgomery for being willing to help out in the position temporarily. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks come alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled, sending their game into overtime with a 127-120 win over the Pistons in Milwaukee. For the 10th time in his career, Giannis scored 50 or more points with 59. The Bucks improved to 4-8. Doc Rivers.
You know, we don't like our record. We're starting to like it more and more with each win, right? But it tells you on the inside how close this team is and how much this team believes that we're going to be a good team.
Bucks center Brooke Lopez.
We didn't start the third the way we wanted, but, you know, when we started picking it up, the crowd was into it. They picked us up again. You know, they brought us to another level, and they just continued to do that throughout the rest of the game.
NFL, the Packers face a Bears team that have lost 3 games in a row and fired their offensive coordinator. Do the Packer players still think this could be a dogfight in Chicago Sunday?
No, 100%. I mean, the rivalry is there in its own, but, I mean, it's another North opponent, so we're definitely locked in on that.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy this evening, partial clearing overnight, and a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, a high near 50. The dry weather continues for the weekend, generally mostly sunny. Breezy Saturday, high in the mid-50s, and around 50 Sunday.
Right now, it's 43. Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Shannon Simon from Cedar Crest Ice Cream, who will help us make our popcorn pick of the week. Then Susan Kaya Schlusser from the Wisconsin Historical Society joins me, followed by filmmaker Nathan Deming.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening. You can be a part as well. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got our friend Earl Ingram Jr. joining me today to the end of the show. And jazzed as hell to introduce right now our friend Joe Zepecki from Zepecki Communications. He's a Dem strategist and a coach and a friend of ours. Joe, welcome to the show, man.
Good to be here, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. As the Dem strategist, Joe, you got some splaining to do, man. So help me understand what the hell just happened.
Well, every single incumbent political party that stood for election anywhere in the world this year got thrown out on its butt and lost power. That's a fact. It is also a fact that when you look at how the Democratic Party in the United States performed, it was probably the best or the second best compared to those other incumbent political parties. And that is small comfort and solace to people who are now at risk, at greater risk, because Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States again. Let me just offer a couple of other tidbits here. I do not think this is Kamala Harris's fault. I do not think this is black voters' fault. I do not think this is brown voters' fault. I do not even think this is white women voters' faults. All of which are sort of theories that I have heard in the week plus since the election. There is something more fundamental than that happening, not just around the world, but in this country and in our culture. In retrospect, as a Democrat, it was probably pretty silly to think that we could win a national election when 2/3 of voters believed that the country was headed in the wrong direction and the incumbent Democratic president had an approval rating in the high 30s, low 40s. Yeah. We knew all of those things as Democratic strategists and plotters and schemers and people trying to win an election. What we also knew was that Donald Trump was uniquely awful. For all of the reasons that, you know, across the Civic Media Network, listeners are well aware of, so I won't list them all here again, and that would be enough. But it turned out to not be enough. And that is something that we on the left need to learn from and grow from and do better the next time from. But I am not here to say that we are, you know, in a position where we should burn it all down and start over, because while it was a clear Donald Trump win, it was not a wave election. See Tammy Baldwin, Jackie Rosen, Ruben Gallego, see 10 pickups in the Wisconsin State Assembly, 4 pickups in the Wisconsin State Senate. Mm-hmm. Right. So there was enough that went right, including for Kamala Harris, who, you know, went from the day Joe Biden dropped out, he was losing to Donald Trump on the issue of the economy by 20 points. And 107 days later, Kamala Harris was only losing to Donald Trump on the economy by 4 points. So clearly people did hear a message from her, and it may just in the end, like if she'd had 214 days instead of 107, maybe that would have been enough. That's not how this works. And so now we're stuck with the consequences. But I don't know. You get to call BS on any or all of that. No, man. That's two. What do you think?
I tend to agree. I think, you know, certainly Joe Biden staying in as long as he did and the circumstances around that was problematic. And that certainly, you know, kind of exacerbated the issues. What about, you know, we talked quite a bit, you know, a lot of reflection here in the last week or so, the messaging. We had a caller here recently, messaging strategy, and I've heard these things, you know, first time Trump won, and here we are again, and it's kind of the same thing. Do you feel as a Dem strategist that the quote-unquote messaging, as you define it, because I'm not sure that there's an equal known definition that everybody accepts, yeah. Do you think that is a problem for the Democratic Party?
I think the mood of our message is more problematic than the message.
What do you mean by that?
Message. So what I mean by that is Kamala Harris went out there every day and talked about the middle class, talked about giving families an opportunity to work their way into the middle class and live that American dream. That's the right place to be positionally. And the tone, the mood was not that she was going to fight like hell and throw elbows and scratch and claw for you and yours, which does not match the way that people who are living these economic realities are feeling, right? If your paycheck is not going as far as it used to, that's the whole damn ball game.
Yeah.
Right? If you're trying to figure out how the hell you're going to afford new school clothes for your kids and how to figure out what it's going to mean for the family budget, if grandma's got to come live with us versus going to a nursing home because she's in poor health, and forget about any notion of taking the kids on a trip over spring break, you don't care about Donald Trump's 34 felonies. And so to have that person hear you, you have to tonally be in the pocket with them. And I don't think Kamala Harris or Tammy Baldwin or anybody on the left was really in the mood, like the tone of communication with the American people who were feeling that hardship the most acutely. Does that make sense?
Yeah, certainly. I would say that if that's your analysis, Donald Trump certainly filled that gap, man. He was out there being angry, saying stupid things, and giving other people, you know, their... being angry for them, and perhaps yeah. that was all the relation they needed in order to go vote for him. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Joe Zepecki, Dem strategist. Also got Earl Ingram co-hosting with me today. Earl, you want to jump in here? I know we're talking about Joe and the strategies and what the Dems need to do going forward. What do you got to say about that?
You know, Joe, I would say that lead people to believe that people were struggling the way they're struggling because of Joe Biden and the Democrats' policies in the last 4 years is unimaginable, that somebody could think that the impact of people's lives and what has happened to them just started happening in the last 4 years. Just a ridiculous thought. If anybody would give it just a millisecond of thought, you would have to say there's no way that the conditions that exist with so many people in this country just happened in the last 4 years. And yet Republicans were able to pin that on Democrats. And it frustrated me to no end that Democrats couldn't push back or didn't push back, because the impact of what has happened to people has happened over the last 20, 30, 40 years in this country. Mm-hmm. And then the Democrats didn't push back and say, so are the Republicans and Donald Trump going to fix it? Joe Biden and his policies attempted to address all of those issues over this 4 years, and they did some things that needed to be done, but the majority of the things that were on the table, didn't get through. It was Republicans who prevented it, two stale Democrats, and Republicans who prevented those very things that the Republicans are now saying they're going to fix getting through. You see it right now with the farm bill. The people need to have the farm bill passed, but it's Republicans saying not until they cut the food stamps.
Right.
So come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I think you're getting to it, Earl, and saying more eloquently than me, which is like, it's just in the tone of your voice. We never pushed back with anger at the audacity of a Republican Party that is lying to you about why you should be mad and who you should be mad at, and is trying to say, no, 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 it's those immigrants. It's those black and brown communities. Right. It's those trans kids that are that should be the subject of your scorn, when in reality, it is the bosses. It is the CEOs in this country. It is the people who have made it harder to organize so that workers can unite and use their collective power to bargain for better wages, for better benefits. There has been a steady, sustained, decades-long, you know, drive in this country to make things worse for workers. Yes. And at the same, and so what have we seen? Growing income inequality, right? We're seeing the rich get richer, and everybody else is either stuck treading water, or if they're doing a little bit better, it doesn't feel like it because the cost of everything is too high. And so that's what I mean when I talk about mood, is like, it's okay to be angry about that. It is okay to be angry that it takes, you know, a Democratic president, 60 votes in the Senate, and a House majority all at the same time, which almost never happens, to try to undo the ways in which they have rigged the system to work against you and yours. You want to be mad about something? Be mad about that. But Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Tammy Baldwin, and the rest of the Democrats are the ones who took action and stepped up to look for the cost of insulin for you, to make sure that you could get that shingles vaccine, and for a married couple, you know, nearing retirement, save the $800 so maybe they can spend a little more on their grandkids come Christmas. And it's okay to communicate that with a little bit more of that sense of urgency and passion, like Earl and I are doing right now, and which Kamala Harris didn't. She was the joyful warrior. I love her for it. It's a tough thing to do, to sort of be angry when you're the incumbent, but I think a little bit more of that just tonality would have resonated with people. And in a game of inches, which this election turned out to be, maybe that quarter or a half inch is enough.
Earl and Joe, can we be angry now? Can I be angry at the voters?
Hell yeah.
Can I be angry at those who would support Donald Trump with a false impression that there's some policy that he's going to institute that will raise their wages? Or do we got to wait for another couple of years for those things to happen, for them to realize it and to say, look, I told you so? I mean, at what point, man? I mean, it's one thing to not be aware of something, but when you purposefully avoid the truth, or you are, or you once you realize that you dismiss it, come on, man. How are you going to convince people who think that Donald Trump was sent by God to vote for their own economic interest, man? I don't see how that happens, Joe. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Savio Show. You got to hang on to that one, Joe. I'll let you stew on that. Joe Zepecki, Zepecki Communications. He's a friend of ours. He's a Democratic strategist. Of course, Earl Ingram, he's a show host here on the Civic Media Radio Network. He airs 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. We're going to come back. And Joe, I want an answer on there, man, because I try to be nice. I do. I want to be nice. I want to be civil. But damn it, man, when I talk to people and they tell me I'm lying when I'm telling them facts, it really bothers me. Folks, 855-752-4842. Back with Joe and Earl and you on the lines.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I've seen what you call progress. Every warning sign ignored. There's a muffled voice of reason, but we can't make out the words.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. We will get to some of the callers. A special guest, Joe Zepecki, Dem strategist with Zepecki Communications. Earl Ingram co-hosting with me today. Jess P.S. is on the board. You know, if tonality is a problem, Joe, I got to tell you, I think I'm the man for the job.
As long as you're doing the job in the right direction, because to answer your question from before the break, yeah. Hey, man, you be mad at who you want to be mad at. I'm not going to be. I have a hard time being mad at the voters. They did not create the information environment in which we live. They did not necessarily create how busy their lives are. And whether you're a single parent on the northwest side of Milwaukee or the northwest part of Sauk County, you might have different lives, but the struggle is the same and it's real. And between making lunches in the morning and making sure the kids got matching shoes on before they're out the door and getting them to school, getting to work, getting them back, figuring out where they're going to be for childcare so you can go to your second job, then trying to figure out, who needs laundry, who needs help with homework, how do I feed these kids one more time in a day? I can't be mad at that person for not having an hour to spend, watching cable news, God forbid, or, researching at the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, the latest, macroeconomic indicators. That's not how human behavior works. And so I'm not going to be mad at those folks. I'm going to greet everybody with love and try to find, places where we can agree. And when we disagree, do so agreeably. And I'm going to try to never be the person who disagrees disagreeably first. And anybody who chooses that path with me, they might get hollered at. Right. Like then all bets are off. But I just don't think we're going to gain anything or be able to build power to protect the people who are now at more risk than they were 10 days ago by saying it's the fault of the people who clearly are frustrated. And I'll just offer one little statistic of this is not unique. It is not unique that people did this in this particular election. In the last 13 elections, so the last 26 years, there have been 11 change elections where control of Congress flipped or control of the White House flipped. That is an incredible amount of turbulence in our politics unrivaled in our nearly 250-year history. You know, I'm not old enough. Dom might be. I know my friend Earl is old enough to remember. Love you, Earl. But you are old enough to remember that there's been periods in this country where, like, the same party controlled Congress for 30 years. And it never changed, right? And now we live at a time when it's like every 5 minutes, the voters are saying, nope, you're fired, in with the new folks. Nope, you didn't do it right either, in with the new folks. That is our reality right now. And I'm going to focus on winning the next election, not be mad at people for making a choice I disagree with in this one.
You know, Dom, I always have to say that as I watch our buddy on television sitting down with those people on the other side, and he's so, you know, suave, and he deals with them, and he's unflappable. Me, I'm an old guy from the film noir days, James Cagney, you know, Humphrey Bogart, and those guys, you know, and Edward G. Robinson. Sing. I can't do it. I can't sit down with people who just tell. We've gotten to a point in this society where, you know, you used to, if you were going to lie, you wouldn't say it out front. Remember, people used to tell a lie. They would go and hide, and they wouldn't want anybody to know they were lying. They wouldn't want to get found out. But now we've got people lying with their heads up in the air on national television and chest poked out and lying, and the society, certain segment of our society, has now bought into that and accepted that. And so how do you get them now, as they've accepted these kinds of lies? They don't accept it from their children, and yet it's become commonplace. How do you get beyond that, Joe?
Well, I would say I got no problem blaming the liar and being mad at the liars and those who know better. I'm just saying the distinction I draw is, if you're that, you know, person who registered to vote 6-8 years ago and hadn't voted in an election since, and, you know, was compelled by Donald Trump or something, you saw a clip or a friend of yours saying, man, remember, like, gas used to be cheaper when, under Trump. I can't be mad at that person. I can be real mad at the liars, and I am, right? So that's another distinction I would draw. Let's be mad at the people who are responsible for the lies, you know, or the alternative facts, as Kellyanne Conway would say, or as people who are, you know, saying on the one hand they want to drain the swamp and make it work for the American people, and on the other hand are turning this into, you know, a corporate oligarchy where one of the largest government contractors in American history, Elon Musk, is now sitting in on phone calls with, you know, global allies and adversaries alike. Nobody elected Elon Musk to anything, and he doesn't have a position of public trust within the United States government. So that's where we should reserve our anger for, not for the people who are being lied to.
Joe Zepecki, Earl Ingram. Joe, once a person is presented with, call it, the truth, and they still reject it, and they still vote against their best interest, or how the reaction, people can vote how they want, that's fine. But there are consequences to your actions. You know what I mean? I want people to be held accountable for those votes. We've got 60 seconds left, Joe. Can we be mad at the ignorance, or at least the willful ignorance, and those that would embrace it?
You can be, but you're just not going to bring people with you. Right? The most powerful thing in the world is the human mind. It can convince itself of damn near anything. And all of us every day are waking up convincing ourselves and telling ourselves a story about how we're a good person. And so when you come at somebody like that and say, you're ignorant, you're a fool, you don't know what you're talking about, guess what their first reaction is going to be? Defense, right? No, it's you. You're the liar. You're the fool. And so I just think we have to find a better way to meet people. That's a short distillation in the couple of seconds we have left. I can hang for one more if you
don't mind, Earl Ingram Jr. Joe Zepecki, our fair audience. I will let you chime in as well. 855-752-4842. I don't look in the mirror and say I'm the best person there is, or Joe. That doesn't happen.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has launched a new tool to help track overdoses across the state. According to a press release, the Wisconsin Suspected Overdose Alerts for Rapid Response System will provide authorities with real-time information about when and where a suspected overdose may have occurred so they can respond accordingly. The online tool will also closely monitor the locations of those suspected overdoses so officials can identify trends and implement the most effective changes to their responses. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has released the 2023 annual report for the state's crime labs. According to the report, Wisconsin has seen an increase in cases involving fentanyl, and the crime labs have struggled to produce fast turnaround times on evidence. Along with the report, Attorney General Call said the upcoming state budget must include more funding for crime labs in order to increase staffing and decrease the time it takes to process evidence. The report also noted a new Southeast Region crime lab is on track to open in 2026. The St. Louis County Jail will be offering new medications to help inmates who are struggling with addiction. The county jail has used a medication-assisted treatment program for years to help inmates suffering from opioid addiction recover from dependency, but the program will now offer the medication Sublocade. The medication involves a monthly injection to cut down on cravings rather than the daily dosing that inmates currently receive. Officials say just having another available option will help more inmates achieve recovery. St. Louis County Public Works and the Minnesota Department of Transportation held a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Wednesday to celebrate the end of their bridge bundling project. Over the last 3 years, DOT and Public Works crews have replaced 21 bridges throughout St. Louis and Carlton counties. Officials say because they bundled the projects into a single contract, they likely saved around 10 to 15% of the potential cost of the replacements. The agencies secured over $25 million in federal, state, and local funding for the projects. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There's not much left for Denzel Washington to achieve when it comes to his career. That is probably why he's mentioned retiring soon. The actor says he will star in the third Black Panther film. After that, he says he will do Othello and then King Lear and then hang it up. There is a lot of potential there to exit the business with a third Oscar for acting. Washington won Best Actor for Training Day and a Best Supporting Actor statue for Glory. Seems like he's really getting the hang of this acting thing. Fasten your seatbelts. There is a new Sexiest Man Alive for 2024, and his name is John Krasinski. The always humble Jim from The Office and star of A Quiet Place says when he got the news, he thought he was being punked. His wife, Emily Blunt, said if he won, she would wallpaper the house with magazine covers. Sounds like they have a busy weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy this evening, partial clearing overnight, and a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, a high near 50. The dry weather continues for the weekend, generally mostly sunny. Breezy Saturday, high in the mid-50s, and around 50 Sunday. Right now, it's 43.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers take on Big Ten newcomer Oregon. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on your local Civic Media radio station, 1260 AM, WLAK.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Former Wisconsin Badger and NFL player Brady Ewing joins us to preview the big matchup at Camp Randall. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Come heavy or don't come at all. You leave your peace at home, that's your call. It never paid to be merciful. Come heavy or don't come at all. Come heavy or don't come at all.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. We got Joe Zepecki. He's a Dem strategist with Zepecki Communications. Sticking around for another segment, of course. Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. It's a party up in here. And the phone line is 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. And we got some people lighting up our buddy Joe.
Lay it on me. Hit me.
All right. Here we go. Linda from Milwaukee. But Joe, it is the voter's responsibility to research before casting a vote. And if their stomach did not turn just listening to Trump for 5 minutes, then they have a problem. And I'll throw one more out here for you, Joe. Steady Eddie. Joe, I'm mad, disappointed, and bewildered at voters. If we have low-information voters, how are we going to have a viable democracy? I don't believe it takes that much time to become informed on the issues and the candidates. Joe Zepecki, what say you?
Well, I'd say democracy is not just about voting. It is about civic engagement. It is about education. It is about being a part of a community, right? Not just a broader American community, but in your community, however you define that. And part of the deal that's changed in America in the last 50 to 75 years is it is just harder and harder to do that. We have more distractions. We have things that are pulling our attention away. I kind of call it like the hacking of the American mind. Yeah, Robert Putnam called it bowling alone at the end of the 20th century and talked about the breakdown in civic life. We should get back to that. We should all be in more golf leagues or bowling leagues or softball leagues. I'm in enough that my wife's kind of mad at me right now. Right? But you have to be really intentional about that, because it's a lot easier to sit home and watch one of your 16 streaming services, you know, that auto plays to the next one, or, you know, get lost on TikTok or one of these devices that has an algorithm that is literally designed to keep you locked in. And so, I wish that's not the way that it was, but this is where we are, folks. And I think part of the end result and what it means for our culture when it comes to that is, like, you know, back when we were growing up, all three of us, right? Like, we lived in neighborhoods that were probably pretty different, but when you lived in a neighborhood, everybody was kind of at the same level, right? Like, yeah. The houses are all kind of the same size, or if it's, you know, apartment buildings, it's not like there's a McMansion and then next door there's, you know, a 600 square foot ranch. That's not how neighborhoods work. And so we all kind of felt like everybody had the same, and that, you know, people like worked hard and got ahead, like, good for them. But now we live at a time where we see what we have, but we can also see what everybody else in every other neighborhood has. And that breeds resentment, because Instagram is showing you that everybody's got a McMansion. Well, no, that's not actually how it works, right? But it is fostering this, like, sense of, when am I going to get mine? I'm working my tail off. I do have that second job. I have that third job on weekends that I'm picking up shifts whenever I can, and I still can't get ahead. And that is making us angry and dividing us. And when you feel that way, you are looking for somebody else to blame. And so I know some of the commenters were probably also pointing to things like racism, things like sexism. Yeah, that is easier to exploit when people are feeling like they can't get ahead. And bad actors exploited it. Boy, did they do it well, right? And they didn't have to be as explicitly racist this time, because there were those trans kids to pick on. And that sucks. Yeah. That's where we are, but it speaks to, like, the enormity of the challenge vis-a-vis the narrowness of the margins, right? As Democratic operatives, as people who work on campaigns and elections, me and my teams, we can't fix the whole damn world. We're just trying to win elections so we can build a little bit of power to address all of those things. But we didn't get here overnight, and we're not going to a better place overnight either. That's not how progress works in this country or anywhere in the world. And I'll just, you know, while I'm up here on my high horse, I'll just say, like, to anybody who's feeling frustrated or, like, is really bewildered by the disconnect between those folks who are more focused on what they're angry about, like, yes, if you could pick any time in human history to be alive, if you could pick any place in the world to be alive, regardless of your skin color, the God you worship, or who you love, you would want it to be right now, today, in the United States of America. That is how good the quality of life is. That is how much progress we have made in the last 100 years. So I get it. If you look at somebody and you're like, what are you so mad about? But I'm telling you that the world we've created is like designed in a lab to create that feeling of anger, and people in politics are exploiting it. They're choosing to do that. And I am not going to in the wake of that, be mad at the people they're exploiting or that they're lying to. I'm going to stay mad at the people who I want to beat in the next election through a fair fight, because that's how we fight back.
Hey, Joe, how come, what part of it is that many people who are angry right now saw their parents live better than they did?
A lot of it.
Because we're in a global technological society.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't that way 30 years ago.
Nope.
And so people could live a middle-class life and the American dream, their parents could, without educations.
Yeah.
That's not coming back. It's a global technological society, and Americans only make up 4% of the global population. We have to educate Americans to where we actually fit in the world, mm-hmm. so they'll understand. We're not going back. Kamala Harris kept saying we're not going back. But we're not going back to the time when a guy could come out of high school at 18 years old like I did and live the American dream. And buy a home and raise a family and take my kids on vacations, mm-hmm. and save some money. We're not ever going back there. So we got to educate the American people where we are in the global, overall global structure of things.
Yes, and I'm not actually ready to give up on we can't get back there. We're not there right now. Where you can, that day after you graduate, go to work at the mill or the foundry or the factory, and 30 years later to give you a gold watch and a pension, and you've bought that house and your kids are, you know, not paying for college on their own. I think we actually can get back there, but it takes responsible, serious leaders and leadership, right? You think about the enormous opportunity that this country has to change the way we power our future. There's going to be between 20 to 40,000 jobs just in this decade alone in construction, building solar fields and wind farms and the battery storage projects that are going to help us replace coal and fossil fuels that are destroying our environment and our planet. That, you know, forget about the hoax of climate change. Oh, it's not real. It's not man-made. Like, I actually don't care. It is an economic opportunity for working men and women to graduate from high school, sign up for an apprenticeship, join the trades, have work for years to come in a growing industry that's going to change the world. And maybe we can get back to some of that. But I don't know that we're going to get there with these guys in charge. Right. So that's why I'm not about to lay down and stop fighting, because like I still want, you know, my kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, like, you know, they got some years before they're done with high school. Maybe we can right the ship. That's what I want to fight for.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Joe Zepecki, Dem strategist with Zepecki Communications. Earl Ingram Jr. also joining me today. Let's get to the phone lines and the text lines and the YouTubes and the Facebooks. Tony, he says, Joe is 100% right. The people he's talking about hate all politicians. They don't trust any of them. If that's what you think, why not vote for a guy who the politicians hate, who blames the system? Why not? Be mad. That's not the case. Be mad at politicians for that. Yeah, there you go. Put your anger, as Joe says, as Tony says, towards those politicians exploiting the I hate to say ignorance. I don't mean it in a terrible term. Exploiting the fact that folks don't have the time or the energy or the ability to fully comprehend and eat all the statistics and the knowledge and the facts to make proper decisions. They exploit that. And if I understood you correctly, Joe, put down the smartphone, pick up a bowling ball. I can get behind that. 855-752-4842. I get behind our callers. Let's get to them. Tim from Wales, you're up. Welcome, Tim. What do you got?
Two things. I firmly believe going to the trades, 23 years old, an apprentice will be making $65,000 a year at 23 years old.
Yeah.
But the voters. We have to blame some of the voters. What about the 14 million that voted for Biden but didn't even come out to vote for Harris?
The non-voters. Good point. And of course, it's not just them, but all the other non-voters. I mean, what's the percent? 60% of people actually, you know, engage. Joe, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm fighting the unpopular opinion here, but like, again, to me, it's like if politicians gave them a little bit more to vote for, if an information environment, you know, and the world we've created provided a little bit more context and information, I think more people would vote. I think it's very sad that fewer people voted in the United States than voted 4 years ago. I'm very proud of the fact that more Wisconsinites voted than 4 years ago, but. And that despite the fact that if some of them had stayed home, Kamala Harris would have won. That's like we're taking the wrong lesson if we wish people had stayed home. I want us to have a more robust democracy that requires more than just, you know, being informed around election time. It's trying to create a world where you do have a trusted source of information that you can go to and rely on. Because the most jaw-dropping statistics of the election, from my standpoint, were those surveys around, you know, is crime up or down? And the truth is that crime is down, but people who knew the truth were more likely to vote for Biden, and people who believed the inverse, that crime had actually risen, were more likely to vote for Donald Trump. That is a real indictment of institutions and organizations ranging from the news media to the education system. But again, I don't think, like, of course there are people out there who are like willfully ignorant and choose to opt out, and they can be a special category. But I think the vast majority of folks who are, you know, working really hard and really, really busy, if we're casting the blame in their direction, we're misaiming our ire.
Earl, when you were growing up, like what was your source of information? You know, I mean, how did you determine what the facts were and what was important to you?
Well, radio. You know, radio was a big deal when I was a young boy. You know, we had transistor radios, you know, and actually television, you know, when I was a young boy, we only had several channels, but the going to the library and the encyclopedias. You know, we actually had to read. There were no computers and laptops and those kinds of things for us. And so you had to go and dig into the encyclopedias in the library, and you enjoyed it because there was nothing else going on for the most part outside of you some sports or some things like that. But we certainly didn't have all the things that young people have, which give them the same opportunities that we had in the encyclopedias, but there was no TikTok. There was none of these other things that kind of lead them down the wrong path. That's where we got our knowledge and our information in books.
Books.
That's the other one, by the way. Put down the TikTok and pick up a book.
Yes. And the library, as you mentioned, I mean, back in the day, it was a social thing as well. Much more. And, you know, my family, my wife volunteers at the local libraries and does those things. And I think it's great. It's just like, oh, people still go to the library. I mean, it's been a long time since I went in. But that's the point, though. You know, some of the books and the resources, those things are verified. Again, buying fiction or nonfiction, you know, consider the source. But now with the technology, it's not necessarily very clear whether or not what you're seeing or what you're reading is actually true. It's all about the clicks and keeping your eyeballs. It's all about the algorithm, as Joe says. Folks, one last segment. Joe, you sticking around or you want to go, man? How you doing?
Sure, I'll come
back. All right. One more party time with Joe Zepecki, Earl Ingram. We've got a few callers holding. We will get to you, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have, you plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash Bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
And welcome back to the Dom Selfie Show, last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell's Joe Zepecki, Zepecki Communications, sticking around for one more segment. Of course, Earl going to close it down with us as well. Earl Ingram and you on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. A couple from the texters. Put down the TikTok and pick up a book, says Cam. Okay, so you guys went in a circle, came right back to what you claimed you needed a change to connect with younger people. And also, in the same vein, Tony says, can't complain voters aren't doing the work to learn when Mega Spoon feeds them bad information. I think both those cats come up with some good points. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I don't understand the first one. We don't want our kids reading books?
No, we put down the TikTok, pick up a book, but then how do we connect with the younger kids if, you know, not through TikTok?
Well, I think if they're reading books, they'll be more informed citizens of the world and will have their minds opened, and then they'll seek out information, which is better than having it spoon-fed to you by bad actors from MAGA to lead to the second text.
Yeah, but that's easier, Joe. L.A. Tom, you are up. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Joe, I think we need to start moving in an FDR progressive direction. We have the second economic bill of rights as a roadmap of what it is that we should be doing. And if people don't know who Franklin Delano Roosevelt is, then you know what? We have actually really failed as a country and also as a Democratic Party. He actually called out the economic royalist. He actually was the one that said, if they want to leave this country, we will miss them very much. And as far as the undervoting goes, the battleground states is all the people and the media care about because of the Electoral College. You start moving this into a popular vote, and you will see the people of California and New York show up in record numbers that you haven't seen before. Last, we need a media infrastructure like they have on the right with Civic Media, which is doing a great job and should be nationwide. Air America was one of the things that actually helped Barack Obama get elected, and social media. We cannot show up 3 months before an election, pump millions and billions of dollars into an election, and think that that's going to win the day. We need to build an infrastructure so people know exactly what it is that we're coming, you know, what it is, where it is that we're coming from. But we need to follow the plan of FDR and get back on the second economic bill of rights, which Harvey Kay has talked about many a time.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I am concerned. A lot of folks don't necessarily know who that is, Joe. Your thoughts?
It's where those books come in handy. I think it's a great point about the seven battleground states and 43 other states. And by the way, I think looking at it that way is a endorsement of what Democrats are doing and how effective the message can be. That when you look at the seven battleground states compared to the 43 other states in this country, Kamala Harris performed about 2.5 points better. That might not seem like a lot, but from the day I started working in campaigns 25 years ago, the expectation was always that the campaign would get you 2-3 points at the end if you were lucky. That really it's for, you know, that last mile, that last inch, if you will. And so clearly where a campaign was run, Kamala Harris did better, Democrats did better, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. And I think that speaks to both, you know, what's going on more broadly in the culture, but also directly impacts those national voter turnout numbers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I would not be holding my breath for a move to a national popular vote anytime soon.
Not under this administration. Earl, what about the poking in and out, as Tom says, you know, coming the last 3 months of every election year, spending gobs of money and hoping to get turnout? Does there need to be a more of a managed, consistent approach?
Well, if you ask my community, the answer is absolutely. If you ask the churches in my community, absolutely. You know, people, it's feast or famine. And so the Democratic Party is not very engaged or involved in my community until, you know, presidential elections. And that's got to change. I mean, the numbers of young people in my community who don't vote are growing. You know, my parents and my generation always voted Democrat. It was automatic. Well, we're dying out. So the Democrats are going to have to understand they're not guaranteed to get those votes from our children, and they got to work for them. And that's something that they haven't adjusted to.
Let me just add one more thing to the point about the media infrastructure and, you know, building something on the left to rival the right. This is one where I think it's fair game to be mad at politicians on the left. The people who are trying to do this, not just here in civic media, but also crooked media, right? The podcast network, the Midas Touch. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden weren't going on those. Why the hell not? Why would you not go on a podcast because you're mad about what they said about Joe Biden being old, which is an obvious fact, right? And say, well, we don't need to talk to those 6 million people. Yeah, you do. That's what the right does more effectively. And there I will blame the politicians, because if they were more on the team and using these mediums that are available to us to meet people where they are, I think we would be further along in that great race to build more political power so we can protect people who are at risk, so we can build an economy that works for everybody, so we can make it like it was when Earl graduated high school, so somebody can join the trades, by 23, be making that $65,000 a year. You know, that's a good solid middle-class life. That's what we got to be focused on. Enough of this talk about, you know, haves and have-nots and, you know, oligarchs. Like, man, let's just work for working people.
Joe Zepecki, Zepecki Communications. Earl Ingram, thank you both, gentlemen. Appreciate the time always spent with you folks. Pete Schwabba, Nightlight, coming up next. And tomorrow, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to join me as well. Have a great night.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow still on vacation, but we got Luke Mathers sitting in, and I have a feeling there might be a couple tangents. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.